Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We know he's already tried to kill us a couple of times.
That's the old family homestead. That's where I grew up.
2 feet.
You've been holding your eye in?
So original. Where'd you come up with that?
Could have given you the key to the front door.
Do we want to make it harder for them to get close to the house?
I've been waiting so long to use this.
What a horror show.
Go to bed.
Is he holding it by the blade?
Shit. Yeah.
Hey, the plumbing is it's real fucked in this place.
You really are as sick as I thought you were. Oh, dear.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 84, The Prodigal Son.
MVP this week is Drakelly, or Dratchely, who just joined us on Discord. Dratchely writes that they've binged their way through Malevolent and Divisor and are happily making their way through Dice Shame. They also enjoy our spooky streams.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. You are this week's MVP.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
When it comes to Warhammer, I don't know anything about it, but I know the lore is like amazing and expansive. I've heard like tidbits. I played a bunch of Warhammer like video games,
so I'm
not naive to it. And I have to say, the idea of the game, you know, being in charge of these armies does appeal to me, because I do really enjoy, you know, I have that very, very big part of, you know, a certain type of people that love, like, oh, I love World War II tactics and stuff like that. Like, I do enjoy being like, they flanked them on the ridge?
I downloaded...
That part does appeal to me.
Total War, Warhammer, whatever the 3 or whatever the latest one is recently, and been playing that, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, but I'm right there with you. I have zero skill at painting, and I don't really have any interest in painting, and I have zero skill at assembling minis, and I don't really have any interest in assembling minis,
yeah,
but
that's all I want to do.
I found a YouTube channel where they paint and assemble minis, and I love it. I'm fascinated by it. I'm like, whoa, that's so cool.
Oh, the guy, like, the talks stuff about people it. Can do is crazy.
See? And that's, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I don't really care. Like, sure, the game is kind of cool, but like, to me, to have a full setup in my basement where, for, you know, you spend 20 years curating like this scene and these miniatures and just like...
You're going to be a train set guy later on.
That's funny. Someone had this miniature like train set in their basement. And like, I just thought, wouldn't that be cool if you had, you know, a train set and a Warhammer set and like a miniature, like it was all kind of combined.
That side of it appeals to me too. What I mean to say is like commandeering an army and like, yeah, like seeing all the gorgeously painted minis and the tanks and shit and like having them and playing with them that way. I would really like that. But yeah, no, I would hate assembling. And I don't know if who knows, maybe at some point in the far, far future, if I'm like, you know, oh, this could be something. I want to get really granular.
Rich and bored.
Rich and bored, for real. Oh, that's what I was saying to Joe, because I was watching these videos, and she's like, you're not interested in that. I was like, no, God, no. But if we ever had so much money that we had a literal spare room in our house,
yeah.
I would dedicate that to wargaming.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Like,
that could be the war game.
The kids
room.
Would have to be gone.
No, kids would be
takes,
in on
like,
it. Are you
so
kidding?
So long.
Marie
to
would
do.
Be like, oh,
tiny hands could hold stuff. I was seeing a guy at one point who decided to play Warhammer, but he didn't want to paint minis, so he just spray painted them all silver and said they were Terminators.
Beautiful.
Whoa.
That's like that's
shortcuts.
So lame.
I don't think that's allowed.
It's so funny, but at the same time, so lame.
We play Mansions of Madness with unpainted minis.
Well, and it's funny because I was like, man. Again, I wish I cared to paint them, because I'd love to paint those little Lovecraftian minis. They'd be so cool.
I just want to paint minis. I don't want to play. I just want
to
paint things.
I would
things.
Love to paint them.
But it's like Rach is really good at it, and she every once in a while she'll buy minis or whatever and paint them, or she's doing some other garage kit stuff. And like it blows me away, the stuff that's like, oh, how did you get that eyeball on there with like a pupil and everything?
Nice. Yeah.
I would love to do that stuff, but I would just need the fucking time.
Well,
that's thing, right?
The other side of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying with the kids, right?
If I was like, well, that's
minis over kids. Where?
Yep.
Kids are minis. They're just adults.
Yeah.
Let's paint our kids.
Every Halloween, you get to trot them out in their stormtrooper armor, and away you go.
Speaking of painted children, I had this scene. So I was trying to put my daughter down to sleep.
Thanks for clarifying.
And of course, I was conveying to you guys how, you know, last night and Monday night, I had no plans afterwards. And of course, she's like, you know, I finished my book and she turns over and falls right to sleep. No problem. And then tonight, it's like, I have something and it's like, just go to sleep. And of course, the tone of my voice caused her to, you know, cry and get a little upset. I'm like, which just extends it longer. So I'm like, okay, I wasn't yelling at you. I was just saying you need some sleep because you're going to be tired. You know, I'm like going on like this.
Yeah.
And then I'm coming upstairs to meet you guys and record. And I'm thinking it would be a hilarious scene to have Doreen be like, just go to sleep, Doreen.
But Mama.
Why don't you fucking kids ever sleep? That's awesome.
Quit foraging under the bed sheets and go to sleep.
Foraging?
Forge.
He's a blacksmith.
Like, oh. Foraging. I was like, what is he foraging for?
I don't know. It's in the blood, I feel.
Berries from the night before. Crumbs.
You never know what you might find in there.
Go to bed. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm just foraging under the covers.
Now I can smell it.
Oh, my God. Forge with the light off.
Oh.
Yep. All right,
shall we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
The venting stalactite is a monstrous thing that hangs thickly from the ceiling of the cavern, connected by copper piping to individual dwellings in an orderly system. Similar stalactites hang in the distance over other neighborhoods, while various statues and other structures pierce upward, giving the town the feeling of a mouth full of clenched teeth. At the stalactite's pointed bottom, an access door is open about 6 inches, permitting the party inside a view of Doran's childhood home. Doran's mother lives on the base level of a neighborhood complex, and staircases carved from stone running up and over one side of it. There's a channel of river water running alongside that. It's a lovely home from the outside, with a central front door and two large rooms clearly on either side, each sporting some glass windows looking out into the street. So it's kind of like an apartment complex, but the layers are all staggered. It's like a collapsing cake, but way more precisely engineered.
Whoa.
Kind of vibe.
A collapsing cake?
Yeah, I picture kind of like labyrinthine, M.C. Escher type. Like, there are staircases that go up and over someone's home to reach the next house that's on top, but it's set back a ways, and there's like a courtyard on top.
Like playing with the organic shapes of the stone that was there.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say Escher or Geiger? How organic are we talking?
Doran's mom lives on the like street level, essentially. You wouldn't really be able to like scale up on top of it because there's another dwelling up there as well. The party is at the point of this stalactite looking through the door at the house.
Darn, is that it? Such a house?
Yeah, yeah, that's the old family homestead. That's where I grew up.
Seems like the street is quiet for the moment.
Yeah.
Red leans away from the side of the stalactite, and he was doing his primeval awareness to kind of wait for a lull in the movement of the street. Seems like it's as quiet as it's going to get.
Just a point of order before we jump up there. I don't know what to expect, but I know I'm pretty cooked from that explosion earlier. I don't know if anybody else...
Still singed.
You know, it could get dicey.
All right. Well, I guess I don't need a healing. Jack, do you need healing?
Yeah,
oh, my God. Your eye is droopy.
Yeah. I've been holding it in.
Oh, no.
You've been holding your eye in?
Well, I don't think the dust in there did it any favors.
He's had his like, finger in a hole. Has been spurting blood this whole time. Like, it's like a water balloon.
It was just shrapnel I didn't notice until it was too late. And then when you pull it out, you bleed a little bit and you push it. It's horrible.
Yeah,
nice. They could follow the trail.
I've been cleaning blood off my outfit this whole time.
All right, well, heal up. Let's be smart about this.
Yeah, somebody patch this boy up.
I can change into starry form, and that might help a bit. And
oh, the bright, starry, dazzly, beautiful form you take?
It makes an impression.
It'll make a big impression.
Here's the thing, I think. If we're just going to walk in, then I want Gautier to be dazzled.
Is that the plan, though? We're just going to walk... Wait, hold on. Why do you want Gautier...
Well,
no, it doesn't matter.
Well, moments before I hit him with a starry arrow or something, but...
I mean, look, Doran, you said, you know, back at the tavern that you wanted to kill Gautier. Is that our plan, everybody? I mean, are we just going to ice this guy?
Oh.
Well, I made a promise to Garam. And I wouldn't kill anybody.
I mean, I don't think we want to snipe through the windows and just take Gautier out cold. I think we need to confront him, though. And I think if we're going to confront him, we better be as ready for a fight as we're going to be, because we know he's already tried to kill us a couple of times.
I agree with you. And not only that, but smashing him in the face doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to kill him.
No.
But I'm going to smash him in the face. I'll tell you that much.
I can't wait to see it.
Doran, he's like an important guy, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. We can't just walk in there without proof or evidence.
Watch
like,
me.
Like,
and Doris starts to stand up.
Hold on, Doran. Just hear me out for a second.
All right, I think Alistair's
got a point. I mean, look, this is the Chancellor of Scarborough, you know? We know from our little mushroom friend. Hi, by the way. Red reaches over to Jack's pocket and taps him on the head.
Hey, buddy.
He just reaches a tiny myconid hand out and just gives everyone a little wave like, I'm still here.
You know, we know from him, you know, what's really happened. But I mean, I don't know if that's going to hold up in the court of law. I mean, look, anything that happens to the Chancellor right now, I think he has a degree of plausible deniability around it.
Look at it this way. We have a letter from Doreen stating her concerns. We need to get her the witness to his crimes away from him and into a safe place. That's got to be the mission, right?
Right. I think that makes sense, yeah. Look, but that means probably then stealthy, right? Because if we go in there, it's possible that we don't even get to Doreen if...
Why don't you sneak over there and get a lay of the land and come back? And then maybe that gives us more information to make a decision.
Me?
What other reason would he have to be inside of my mother's house? Unless, of course, he's confronting her about these letters. I mean, there's a good reason why he would be in there, and it's probably not to go for a visit.
Wait, are you saying why would he be in the house?
You're right, yeah. Why would he be in the house?
You gotta think like you pray, Doran, right? Gautier, at this point, knows that we didn't die. There's a wanted poster in the tavern, right?
Right.
Logically, if he's gonna put himself in your shoes, he knows that you, more than anything, want to visit your mum.
Mm.
There's a good chance that he's planned for us to arrive here. And Red kind of like sits back and thinks for a second.
He already knew you were coming to see her.
Right. What other reason does he have to block me from coming in to see my mother?
Well, Doran, we've killed some dwarves. I think between the two parties, we're the ones that would be killed on sight.
Well, I don't think that's the possibility.
I mean, why wouldn't it be? The guards know that we're wanted for murder.
They already tried to kill us once. Why wouldn't they do it again?
Look, if Gautier has a blind set up, if this is hunting, how do we outsmart him?
Is there a back way into your mom's house?
I don't think so, actually.
There's another option here, then. I mean, Doran is being sought by Gautier, but it's entirely plausible that the rest of us just skedaddled. I can go invisible for a very brief amount of time. It's possible that we do our little holy trick again. Provided that there aren't too many stacks of books in the portable hall.
We could fit.
Maybe the four of us, or all of us, get in the house through the upstairs window. You all jump in the hole. I scamper up the side, invisible-like. Go in through a window and get in through the top floor. Let you out before you suffocate and die. And then we have, at the very least, entered the abode without notifying anyone.
Red, why don't you sneak up to the window and peer inside and see if you see anybody?
Okay.
I mean, that's what the logical soldier in me would think.
All right.
Go and take a look.
I was thinking about breaking into the attic.
Well, there isn't an attic. There's an apartment up there. It's somebody, like a think condos.
Yeah,
I know. Hey, lady, we got to get in through your basement.
Where's your shitter?
window inspector. Red and fucking Doran show up as plumbers.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, the plumbing, it's real fucked in this place.
Italian dwarves.
Well, then before healing and turning into anything glowy, I'll go check the window like Doran suggested. I'll be right back. And Red slunks out like the Grinch.
You're a mean one.
Red.
So the street is clear?
Yeah, there are a couple of people passing here and there, but you still have your Pass Without Trace active, correct?
Yeah.
It's an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
Well.
Yeah.
You've got about 3, 2, 1. Oh, no, it's gone now.
Already there and back. I already did it.
Across the street.
I already fucking did it.
Red. This neighborhood is clearly farther away than the street festival that you'd seen earlier, but there are a couple of people wandering around on the streets. Why don't you give me a perception check?
All right. 14.
Yeah, you actually see a member of the guards just down the street. He seems to be kind of posted up.
Red comes back in. I don't know, guys. I saw a guard down the street kind of posted up. Give me one more second. And Red kind of goes back out. And can I roll insight on that guard?
Sure. What are you hoping to glean?
I'm hoping to glean whether they are just on a regular patrol or if they're watching the house.
All right.
Waka waka. That's Red's new catchphrase, by the way.
I love it.
So original. Where'd you come up with that?
Never.
Shut up, Rob. 19 plus 7.
Mm-hmm.
26 insight. Whoa. On that stupid guard.
Well used, a high roll for this extremely important detail.
Don't undermine my roll.
You can tell by the way he's fingering the haft of
his
axe.
Like the Bee Gees.
Whoa.
You can tell
that's
by the way
risque.
He's fingering his axe roll?
See.
Whose axe is he fingering?
He's forging right at us.
Just gripping the shaft of his weapon.
He's ready for...
This is Gautier?
No.
What?
It's a guard. It's a guard a little ways down the street.
Gautier's just taking a smoke break outside.
You can tell by the way his hands are tightened in anticipation on the handle of his axe that he's ready for you. He knows you guys are coming.
Uh-oh, Red comes back in. No go, Doran. I can't go sneak up to that house because I'm telling you, that guy down there, he's waiting for us. Might not be the only one. That means it's being locked down. Look, I go invisible. You all jump in the portable hole. I get us in there. Bing, bang, boozy. No one sees us. Floozies.
Do we want to make it harder for them to get close to the house? Because I have an option.
Pitch
Let's
it.
Hear it.
And this is a spell I haven't gotten to use yet, which is spike growth, which is an area of effect spell, which basically turns the ground into spikes.
I like it. I like it. My hesitancy is that they would immediately know that we're going towards the house because spikes would pop up in the air. But I like where your head's at.
I think.
I'm trying to. Mari's just trying to sort of keep people back in a non-lethal way.
I think you should do that. I think what we should do, though, is I think Red's got a good idea, and we'll jump in the portable hole, get inside the house, and then Mari, if you stand by the front door or keep a peer out and look for anybody approaching, then if you see anybody. Any guards, you know, put up a bunch of spikes around the house. It'll just stop them all from coming in. I think that's a great idea.
Well, it'll stop them for a bit. It makes it difficult terrain, so.
Yeah.
It'll stop them, and it hurt, but it does hurt, so.
I'm wondering, tactically, if that's really well positioned in a hallway inside this house to prevent people from coming down it to get us if we're in a room with Doreen.
Let her have this, Jack.
I
spiky growth.
Jack, you also know that if all of you were to hop in the portable hole, something's going to have to happen with these bags of holding that you guys have because you can't bring them with you.
Oh, no, 100%. It's already in my head that we're going to have to give all the bags of holding to Reds and then, right, like Mari can't.
Hold on, what do you mean give all the bags of holding to Red? I already have one. I just hold on to Mary's for 5 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
For
it,
6 seconds.
It doesn't go in the hole. That's all I'm talking
for
about.
For 12 seconds.
Don't want to rift in the astral plane.
This is key. That would really wreck our day.
Peace out, losers.
We're going to space.
All right, Mari, I take your bag of holding. Jack, you, Mari, Alistair, and little Doran here all hop in the...
Little?
I mean, presuming that there's not too many books in there.
There's lots of room in the portable hole, Red.
Is this safe?
Well, it's risky.
Define safe.
Survivable.
Define survivable.
It's been done before, and Red and Doran live to tell the tale.
From what I've heard about portable holes, you can't breathe in them, right? It's not...
There is air, it's just a finite amount of air.
Yeah, like in the cave-in, remember? When one of us freaked out, no one remembers who.
Yeah.
When Red did really good in a tight and closed space.
Hey.
Oh boy.
Well done, Red, you survived.
I'm used to the big freedom of the above land.
Tamari's squeezing her hair out, getting ready.
Jack is pulling out the portable hole and starts to unfold it on the ground of this space. Looks up and, Mari, we better make sure we don't take that bag into the portable hole. It's a rift to the astral realm kind of problem.
Oh.
We don't
okay,
need
that
today.
Sounds... No, I think we've got enough problems right now. And she hands it over to Red. There's like keychains like dangling off of it. At some point, she's like made one of those little beaded geckos.
Oh my gosh.
At some point today.
You've done so much to this in so little time.
Yeah, she's been doing it sort of absentmindedly. Like, as
there's
she's
a safety
walking.
Pin on the side and you're like working on a friendship bracelet.
I think if we're hidden in this hole... Makes perfect sense to enter your starry form now because you're...
Oh, yeah.
And see if we can, you know, get everybody filled up with that chalice and then away we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got singed up in the fireball, remember?
Yeah.
I'm all black and burny.
You smell terrible, Red.
I don't smell terrible.
It's burnt hair.
I don't smell anything.
Oh, no. That's not a good sign.
My arm is numb.
Red, are you?
Oh, no. All right.
Nah.
Oh, no.
Gas
turns
mess,
around and there's like a huge laceration on the back of his head.
Oh, you have a concussion? This explains a lot.
Happened in the cave and actually a big stone fell on his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We just haven't noticed that Red's like terribly concussed.
He fell from the top of the cave roof, so he's...
That must have been it.
Yeah, and as Mari hands the bag over to Red, she closes her eyes for a minute, and the stars start to form out from the middle of her chest and spread out across her body, and into her hand, this shape of a chalice comes and forms, And once it's at its full glowing form, she takes it and she sort of tosses it into the air. And where the light falls, it turns into this shimmering mist and it falls over Red and Jack. And Red, you heal 15 points, and Jack, you heal 35.
Nice.
Oh. Freshly healed burns on Jack's body, now taken care of. He steps down into the portable hole and starts kind of shuffling things around to make sure all the books are not going to get like stepped on or sat on. He, you know, has them in a nice safe trunk that he sits on just so that nobody gets into it. And then there's, you know, a nice big 6 foot diameter by 10 foot deep hole for us all to spend some time in.
Have fun in the void.
Oh boy.
And Red like helps everyone down.
Mari takes a big deep breath.
You look nervous. Doran looks up at Mari.
Yeah. A little bit.
I just want to say that was really impressive. That's a really beautiful magic trick you did there. And it worked really nicely on
Doran, Jack, let's just get in the hole.
But you get in last, and that way you spend the least amount of time. You could be the first one out.
Doran kind of tucks his arms in and like does a little hop straight into the hole.
Alistair does a cannonball and like hurts his tailbone really bad on the bottom.
Oh boy. Yeah, Mari just sort of like carefully slides in, not jumping.
On the upside, it's going to be bright in here because of starry form.
True.
So it's not going to be
We can watch ourselves suffocate.
Yeah.
Sort of bright.
Red's like standing over the hole looking down. All right, guys. And I just want to say, everything's going to be fine. Don't be worried. Take a deep breath. And I'm really resisting the urge to fart before closing this thing.
Yeah, that's not funny.
Red, I swear to God.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
In the moment when Red is pulling up the hole and closing it, Jack closes his eyes and channels that bit of void that he was in when he was stuck inside a stone. Skin turns granite-like and protective. And he sort of like figures out where his dagger is because his magics are not going to help him.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, and Red, like, I kind of, for some reason, imagine it like a drawstring. Like, he's just like, and it's like getting smaller. And right before it closes, he's like, and just in case, be ready to fight when I open this thing. I don't know what's coming. And he closes it.
Man, that must be, like, such a clean and tidy way of committing murder. Just tricking someone to go into a portable hole and closing it up.
Red taps it. It's not the first time either. Enjoy the skeletons. No, Red picks it up, flicks it like a coin, puts it in his pocket, and peeks out silently again, looking at the street, waiting for his moment. And he's about to cast invisibility when he notices that none of the windows are open and the door is shut.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of sits back. Ha! And this is the part of the movie where people would be like, oh my God, Red, move! They're suffocating! But he's just like, think, Red. Think.
Finally some quiet.
Now that it's quiet here.
Finally time for my novel.
And he kind of looks out again, and he sees running along the side of the house the sewage trench.
Yeah, so there's a channel of water from the river, and then beside that, you would presume...
Do I dare to crawl in the poopy of Doreen?
The poop chute.
Wouldn't be the first time I'd be an Iron Fist shit. So much power. Red, like, flicks the thing in his hand again. All right, time to muscle up. Wonder what they're doing in there. I bet Doran farted. Anyway, focus, Red. You can do this. Okay, I don't want to smell that poopy, though. And Red casts Icy Mantle on himself, which, again, canonically, covers him in, like, a half inch thick of just ice. So he's basically got an ice condom on right now in his mind, because it doesn't get destroyed until he breaks it with an action or 1 minute. So basically that's just going to keep all the shit off of him so long as he closes his own mouth.
And as long as it's not like roiling hot shit that will melt through your ice.
Only physical damage breaks it. So it could be the hottest shit. It could be the fucking hottest shit in the land, yo.
As long as you don't stub your toe when you go into it, you're fine.
It rips and it explodes off.
What a fucking hero stubbing his toe.
I
like
love
that.
The idea. Yeah, Red Light gets all this ready and then he walks out and trips immediately on the street, becomes visible, the portable hole falls out, everyone spills out like assholes.
Oh my God, I want Red that poop. Reality so badly.
But not in this reality. Red is a hunter. He casts the Icy Mantle, and then he casts Invisibility, and with 90 feet to his name, using all of his abilities, he slinks out of this stalactite, dives into the sewage trench, crawling over all the dookies from all the Iron Fist clans that I've gotten stuck for years and years. Handy kneesies it all the way right up into Doran's pooper. And his head just slowly peeks over the bowl of Doran's pooper.
What a horror show. Just an icy fox face just poked
covered
out of
in shit.
Outhouse in no way.
Slowly materializes and becomes visible as
whichever
he's just dripping
like,
in liquid
a minute.
Shit.
He's in there well, reading then, a magazine.
You see your
you
reflection
imagine, yeah,
in the mirror.
There's a guard shitting there right now, and he's like, uh-oh, I've got a problem
Why
here.
Is it cold? Oh, God.
Splash up. And Red crawls out, and he throws the portable hole on the wall of the bathroom, which I have to assume is a private room because it's a bathroom. And when the four in the hole kind of are greeted by the light of the bathroom, they just see fucking Red in the tub scrubbing himself off with like a little bit of water. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What happened?
You don't want to know.
You got us right inside, right into the bat. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And Red just like glances over to the toilet.
Shitty ice shards in the bathtub.
Mario's cast Druidcraft to put that little like bubble of vanilla over her head again because all she can smell is like whatever has come out of the toilet.
Uh-huh. Alistair puts his hand on your shoulder, Red, and he goes,
"You did what you had to do."
I saw things.
God, they eat a lot of corn here.
Our whole life is corn.
You know what, Red? I'm sorry you had to do that. We should have discussed about it earlier, but...
What'd you say about disgusting?
I could have given you the key to the front door. Doran, like, reaches into his breast pocket and kind of holds up a key and then puts
no,
it...
No, no, no. It wasn't about it being shut. I didn't want the door or the window or anything to open.
Fair.
I realized once you guys were in the hole that kind of would negate the invisibility if they could just see something.
Well, at least we weren't the only ones in the hole.
We're sort of on a clock until someone in the house needs to use the washroom.
So hey, don't worry. There's two bathrooms.
Oh, good.
I saw two shit trenches.
Someone's in here.
Just hanging out of order sign on
occupado!
The...
There's like this muffled conversation coming from the bathroom.
All right, we're going to have to keep it down.
Agreed. But I don't want to play the whole game whispering. So, but I do cast Pass Without Trace. Additionally, it leaves behind no tracks or other traces of its passage, which means we don't really have to worry about dripping water or anything like that.
Just shit smears
all
everywhere.
All of the poopy just disappears.
Agreed.
You guys are being stealthy, but not talking in whisper voices for the sake of the podcast.
Podcast is a character now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the deity to which we all pray.
I love this idea that Red's like, okay, Mari... Your starry form, we're ready. Jack, excellent. Okay, you got your dagger drawn. Doran, you know what you're doing. Oh, fuck, Alistair, I forgot you're here.
I'm here for moral support. Doran gave me this dagger, so...
Okay.
And you make good use of it, too.
Thanks.
Hold it up and look threatening, all right?
Like that?
Oh, my God, we're fucked.
He takes it and he turns it around. You're not gonna...
Is he holding it by the blade?
You wanna...
He's holding it by the blade!
Oh, this hurts.
Not like this.
This
like
makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
God, I cut myself.
All right, Doran. Where is Doreen's room, from this place?
Like I was saying, out this door. And I think we just kind of keep an eye open, but it's through the front hallway... back through the dining room, and then it's the first bedroom once we get into the hallway there.
Wait, it's on the other side of this wall?
Yeah.
Huh. Red kind of walks up to the wall. Doran, how thick are these walls, do you think?
How thick are the walls?
Yeah.
How thick are the walls? How thick are the walls? I really need to know.
Because I have a little weird idea, and I need to know. Can you tell me if they're thick?
They're like 2 feet thick.
Interesting.
2 feet?
Yeah, doors don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is rock, man.
Huh.
How much wasted space is in this giant house?
Yeah, how much? No wonder.
Two feet is fine. 2 feet is fine.
I'm not a builder. But this is a supporting wall.
2 feet is fine.
It's fine for what?
I have an idea.
Sure.
Red walks up to the wall that is against Doreen's room. And he's like, you're sure it's on the other side of this wall, right, Doran?
Yeah.
All right. Red peels off a patch from his robe of useful items.
Oh, shit! Yeah, yeah, yeah!
And he places on the wall...
Yes!
A 4-foot, 2-foot wide window.
This is so clutch.
Yes.
Wow.
I've been waiting so long to use this.
Oh, that's cool.
Red places the window on the wall, like, and it's almost like Jack's sticker hole thing that wasn't real, except this goes on flat. Like, he like sticks it on and stretches it like wallpaper, and then suddenly there's just this window into Doreen's room.
Oh,
and
so
Red
cool.
kind of does a little ta-da.
This bathroom is not private anymore, but that's
Red,
fine.
Red, I love your ingenuity, and I dislike your interior design philosophy.
Why? You don't want to poop while having someone stare at the back of your head? Doesn't matter. Let's go through.
Doran elbows his way in front of Red and sticks his head into the bedroom.
Mother, are you in here?
Doran, as you look into this room, you're met with, again, all this nostalgia, just waves of it. The same bedspread is on the bed that she used to have 30, 40 years ago. On the wall across from the bed, you see a piece of art that you and your brothers had made for her. 3 little dwarven handprints embedded in some clay. And underneath, the 3 of your names scratched: Lauren, Doran, and Goran. The first hammer that you ever used at a forge, maybe in school or something like this, is sitting on top of a placard over her night table. And in bed is this little frail old woman looking impossibly small to you, her hair plastered damply to her head, and she doesn't even really look up to acknowledge you.
Oh, Mom. You really are as sick as I thought you were. Oh dear.
And he climbs right through the window and he rushes to her bedside.
Yeah.
And he grabs her hand and he says, Mom.
I think Red quietly climbs through as well.
Mom, it's me, Doran. I'm sorry it's been so long. I'm
Her hand is surprisingly frail in yours. The muscles wasted away somewhat, and her clouded eyes turn towards you, and her mouth works to produce a word, a sound.
Doran?
Yeah. Yeah. It's me. You recognize my voice? Still?
And she leans her head back against the wall in exhaustion.
Mom, I'm sorry. I've been away because I was ashamed. I have always felt guilty about my brothers. I've always taken the blame and... It is, of course, I was responsible for them, but you know, I'm just sorry that I'm sorry that I'm only here now.
Through great effort, the elderly woman reaches her hand out towards you, Doran, and cups your face. Her fingers kind of entwine in your dirty beard a little bit. She just tries again to look up at you. She doesn't say anything.
Doran takes his mother's hand and places it on his cheek and then leans in and embraces his mother in the bed, you know, wrapping his arms around her and his head next to hers. And you guys see this burly dwarf turn into this sobbing individual.
Aw, Doran. Can't do that to me. Inspiration.
Sweet.
Nice.
Well done.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Now squeeze it more.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Mama, It's me, Widow Darwin.
No. Too far.
Yeah.
Dial it back.
Overshot. I'm a widow baby again.
Oh, no.
See, I thought it was going to go Dice Shame Babies, where it was just all of us as like...
Then you see him sit up, and he looks up to see his hammer on her shelf and his companions standing around in the room. And almost like he realizes where he is and he remembers what's going on, and he comes to his senses and he says, Where is he? Where is Gautier? Is he here? Is he here in the building?
Sitting next to your hammer, Doran, on the shelf, is a backpack you don't recognize.
And he points to it. Who's standing closest? I guess that is that Red?
I don't know.
Yeah, I am.
Awesome. Here I am.
What was that?
That was me.
Who got in there? Red, are you possessed?
Yeah.
I'm just tired. I crawled through a lot of shit today.
Observing this backpack, is there anything that gives me any reason to believe that it's not hers?
Is it worse to get the rat?
Whoa, you went dark.
What? That's kind of where my brain went too. This guy's been known to blow shit
really?
Up.
Really? That there's a bomb in here?
No, whoa. you kind of recognize it from your vision with the Myconid. This is the backpack that Gautier put down in the room when he came to visit her this morning. This is Gautier's bag.
Red, that's Gautier's bag. He must be here.
It's not bad. I mean, I like... Oh, shit, you're right.
Rifle through it.
Oh, speaking of, here, Mari, you can take your bag back.
Oh, thank you.
And Red goes to open
it. As Red sort of goes towards the bag, Mari grabs him by the shoulder and she's like...
Please don't hit me with your hair.
No, not this time.
Oh, good.
That was the bag that we saw in the vision from my Myconid that Gautier put down.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get Stevie to give it a little sniff first.
Yeah.
And Red reaches into the bag holding and pulls out Stevie. Stevie, give it a sniffy. And Red holds out Stevie to sniff the bag.
Nah, Stevie turns around and gives you rat thumbs up.
Okay.
All right, well, let's see what's in this. Red still tentatively, because it could be a trap, opens Gautier's bag.
Inside of this bag, Red, you find some rations. You find food and water, probably enough that would last you about 10 days. You find a small sack of gold pieces, 25 gold inside. And you find a small piece of parchment folded up way in the bottom, like shoved underneath everything.
Red delicately takes the piece of parchment out and then hands it to Doran.
As you go to hand the parchment to Doran, your eye catches on a detail of this folded parchment.
Wait. And Red like pulls it back.
And when you recognize what it is, your blood runs cold. There is a broken seal on the paper. That is a black wax stamp in the shape of a rolling wave.
Oh, shit.
Spit it out, Red.
Remember how I, told you that I was an assassin?
Yes.
This is their mark. The Dark Tide.
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wright, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Harper the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jory, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Manda Pants, Merrick Smoon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Wren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.